conference. You're all very welcome. I want to start by addressing the 22 years from the declaration of the Loyalist ceasefire. In doing so, I think it is important to recognise that October 94 was not the beginning of Loyalist involvement in the process, but the culmination of it. The words of the ceasefire declaration were in themselves visionary. Words that offered with an inherent magnanimity that set the context for a process that so often failed to honour by the generosity epitomised in those words. Today I want to repeat our gratitude and pay tribute to that vision, that commitment, that determination to hold firm in the pursuit of political stability and ultimately of peace. I once again want to recognise the value of the Loyalist leadership against untold pressure and under lethal threat. I want to recognise the resolve of those who held back the tide of discontent and remained focused on the ultimate goal. For without that Loyalist leadership, make no mistake about it, we would have no peace, we'd have no institutions, and the future of this country would be a lot less bright. And I think we must recognise today the self-sufficiency that has governed Loyalism as it has chartered such uncertain path. Unrecognised for its efforts, external analysis has singularly failed to appreciate the depth of Loyalist achievement. Indeed, such lack of objective analysis has left a vacuum used by those whose interest is served when Loyalism is written out of recent history. I want to now talk about legacy. A conflict legacy process which comprehensively and sensitively deals with the past will only work on the basis of social inclusivity, not political exclusivity. I also want to put on record that this party believe that victims are at the centre of any legacy process. By leaving a legacy process to be determined by political parties, the past, however defined, will be unworkable. We have already witnessed how a process which should include Loyalists has alienated them from discussions about what it will look like and how it might work. This can only hinder the possibility of participation. Any formal process designed to include a community which excludes them from involvement in that design will not work. This simple and obvious point has been overlooked by the two governments and the main political parties. There is largely suspicion and hostility about the talk on legacy issues amongst Loyalism. A result of bad planning and inability of governments and parties to grasp that this is a problem very much of their own making. We accept that construction of institutions and mechanisms are in a large part a product of political decision making, but we remain convinced that any attempt by political parties to capitalise on the legacy process will be the detriment of Northern Ireland in general and to stop destabilising for Loyalist communities in particular. It must be a process where conditionality is shaped by community participation and social conversation. Without this, a legacy process will find no public support except in situations where one community believes it can use such a process against others. We recognise that Loyalism too has to address the influence of paramilitary structures and that this is the most pressing issue for people in Northern Ireland. We also recognise that any attempt to address legacy is bound to fail when the mechanisms and structures of conflict remain in place. Therefore, I would argue that the ground is not being prepared for a legacy process by the two governments or the Northern Ireland Assembly. This party will not be found wanting on this front. We will provide advocacy, political leadership, as we did for the ceasefires and for the peace process. I want to highlight the excellent work that is being carried out with the ex-combatants through the ACT initiative and supported by EPIC in relation to DDR. The work is groundbreaking. They have excellent processes in place that have been tried and tested. The two organisations are building a new way through community development and peace-building principles. Unfortunately, conditionality remains unclear and the social and political circumstances inhibit a collective and agreed approach to ending structures of conflict. Given this landscape, it is highly unlikely that any legacy process can succeed. If only the two governments and politicians could catch up with Loyalism, then maybe we could succeed. Conference, all of us attending today would have concerns about where the Northern Ireland Executive will take us with their strategies. it looks like the ministers like to operate in silos. This week, we had an education minister telling us that he's instructed schools to prepare for the transfer test. A transfer test that recognises capacity in its narrow sense, yet determines the course of our young people, their future, long before they are able to cope with the reckoning of such magnitude. The education system is very clearly broken. The system has failed. The system needs uprooted and changed. Levels of underachievement and disadvantage there is are an outrage. For us, it is an issue of equality, and it is an abuse of the young person's human rights. But none of this is new. We have been arguing this for over 20 years. Conference, it is now time to move this education argument into equality and human rights. It is clear that educational underachievement in loyalist areas need moved up a level. And it is my view that this party has a long history in fighting this corner. We now need to find a platform for a challenge that ends this discrimination. We yearn to grasp this issue. We have policies that could bring about real change, but it isn't being listened to by parties and government. At the very least, they need to listen to future generations. It seems to me that it is Groundhog Day. We stand at conference annually and nothing seems to change for the better, and it doesn't stop at education. Our manufacturing base is under threat. Recent job losses over the last 2 years are of grave concern. We need to be ahead of the curve in this. Manufacturing is changing, but so must the focus of manufacturing industry, aided and abetted by government. Again, this is an issue. We have called on the government to take action. We still have jobs in this sector being lost and no support from the executive to implement the strategy. Remember that whenever this was voted on in the Assembly, both the DUP and Sinn Féin voted against it. Instead of lusting after the white elephant of lower corporation tax, the government would be best served helping those businesses already here, instead of a dubious and costly gamble on those who may never come. Irrespective of how people in this room voted in Brexit, the length of time it takes to happen, the government need to meet the challenges, take the opportunities and get the best deal for the UK as a region. We need to make sure that we get the benefits that we are due. If a deal is worked out between the UK and the Republic of Ireland, we need to protect the border from criminality and illegal immigrants entering the UK. In terms of welfare rights conference, I want to repeat that this party is opposed by ideology and principle to welfare reform. Our record is clear to see. This conference, the highest decision-making body in our constitution, passed a motion against current welfare reform 4 years ago. We reinforced that view the following year and in subsequent years. A concern for this party is the potential impact of welfare reform across Northern Ireland and a need to ensure that associated welfare support programme and mitigating measures, as recommended within the Aileen Evison report published in January 16, be rolled out as a matter of priority. There have already been some delays in this process, and we don't want any more. Welfare reform will be acutely felt by specific households and or individuals. Some specific changes being made to the benefit system as a result of welfare reform include universal credit will replace many existing benefits, a new personal independence payment will gradually replace disability living allowance, cuts to housing benefits in social housing is far too large and there's a benefit gap, and it goes on and on. Although conference, I do not need to tell you, as political activists, about the impact of welfare reform. We in this party on the front line have walked with the most vulnerable through this nightmare, and I want to congratulate all of you for the sterling work in helping people out the other side. The amount of work our activists have done in terms of advice, correcting mistakes, filling out forms and generally signposting, it's a credit to the people in this party. This party is rich with caring and compassionate people, and our community has benefited from your commitment to tackle problems that has been created by government, who make decisions that are not in the interests of the most vulnerable in our society. I would also like to thank all the workers in the welfare rights sector. They have worked tirelessly to ensure people understand the consequences of welfare reform in every corner of this region. The Northern Ireland Executive is working to address social inclusion challenges through the Delivering Social Change Framework and Lifetime Opportunity Strategy, NIA. This party calls on the Executive to bring forward the new social strategy quickly in the light of the levels of poverty in our society. This party would call on the Executive to adopt a whole system that would deliver impactful local programmes and interventions that will make a real and sustainable difference to people's lives. There is a real opportunity for an approach across government to help alleviate the impact of social issues such as fuel poverty and welfare reform. We welcome this work and we believe in the importance of a social strategy, but it must be cross-cutting to achieve major impact. Conference, the Assembly is not the only body which can make decisions in our society. There are the councils with their new powers. Unfortunately, not all the powers that were promised materialised. Therefore, we seek the early transfer of regeneration powers to councils, particularly those relating to comprehensive development schemes and compulsory purchasing. This party, I believe, that it will provide important levers to support the physical, economic and social regeneration across the cities, towns, villages and neighbourhoods. The transfer would enable regeneration functions to be reconnected with land use planning and the new power of community planning. This would further enhance the ability of councils to develop reinvigorate their areas, support investment locally, which will grow our economy, create jobs and prosperity, and improve the quality of life. The Progressive Unionist Party calls on all parties in government to prioritise this important matter for Northern Ireland and bring forward the necessary legislation to enable councils to play their part in the growth of our economy. Conference, the Progressive Unionist Party wants to act. The Progressive Unionist Party wants to act against the persistent poverty and deprivation. The socio-economic problems are no different to other cities of those in the UK or the Republic of Ireland. The problem is that we have a legacy of the Troubles. This party will continue to work to find better future. We will collaborate with others of like mind to find the solutions to improve a society for all of its people, irrespective of religion, gender, class, sexual orientation or political view. It's the party's belief that there are key areas that need to be tackled to make any progress in the interest of this society. We will focus on alternative ways of solving the issues, and based on our ideology of how we believe our politics can work, we would expect that peace to be embedded in Northern Ireland. We would not be imposing austerity cuts and expect no... We wouldn't be imposing austerity cuts and expect no social consequences on the decades of conflict and inflicted on this society. We will work on the following areas: education, poverty, investment, mental health, infrastructure, legacy and reconciliation. And part of that reconciliation is about sectarianism and racism. I just want to say that we spend a lot of money on education, and the difficulty is that we don't deal with one type of education. We have all these different types of education. We've always argued this. We believe it's a waste of money. And for us, we should be educating all our children together, not in separate schools. Poverty, you know, has been something that we've always had. We can see the increases on it. You know, one in four children in Northern Ireland lives in poverty. We need to deal with it. And some of these things are legacies of the Troubles. We don't want to deal with this because, you know, academics have produced the cost of the Troubles, and we continually keep spending money that we don't need to spend. £160 million was taken out of our budget this year. Last year was taken out of the budget to actually deal with a number of issues that it could have been better spent elsewhere. That's the sort of stuff that we want to do. We will introduce new thinking to old problems. We would use the allocation of spend in a different way. We believe that these areas of work need immediate attention before dealing with other services. We have plenty of other problems, but until we actually get rid of this massive budget that we're spending on things we don't need to spend on, and we restructure our attempts to change things, then we're not going to be able to move. So it's for us. The key issues we highlight will allow us to change the delivery, and we will not be duplicating services, in turn giving savings to invest in other services. The party will object to cuts as they are destabilising for output and employment. Austerity policies risk economic stagnation or decline. They also risk a removal of vital safety nets of the social development and cohesion that exists. And that is one of the problems for the government. They don't understand that there is a third sector across the UK, and there's one in the Republic of Ireland, and that's the community sector. And if it wasn't for them, things would be a lot worse. They're picking up things they're not being paid to do and ensuring that that safety net is there. We need to actually make sure that happens. And our councillors will be doing that in their council areas and do it every day and argue against many things that come forward because we don't want that safety net removed. Conference, in the last year we have examined and explored internal mechanisms in the party. We have made the necessary modifications to make the party perform better. We heard the Deputy Leader, Councillor John Cale, speak earlier, and all of those things that he mentioned, we need to deal with, and we have started to deal with them in terms of internally, in terms of how we do that. I want to congratulate the party officers for driving the change, and to party members for your cooperation in the changes. The party also has an internal document in relation to elections, and that is ongoing, and changes will be ready for the new executive to implement in the coming weeks and months following today's conference. I would remain elected office is for us a means to an end. We exist to help and inspire our communities, but can do so better with the levers of electoral influence. We can bring more change, land more office, land deeper change. This party is rich with talent and ability of all ages and gender. I am proud to be leader of this party, and I am proud to be associated with its members. Let me ask conference to double our efforts for the people that need social and political change in this society. I've been on a journey in this party for decades, both incarcerated and in freedom. And I, or this party, have not reached our destination. And John mentioned the sort of high-speed trains. I think we need to speed our train up a bit to get to that destination. Together, let us complete the journey and liberate the most vulnerable in Northern Ireland. Conference, I ask you to support the changes and how the party's moving forward. And I ask everybody to pull together to make sure that this party becomes even better and greater in the future years. Thank you.